Greetings. You are tuned into the Green Inside Story with SUNY Old Westbury with Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm your host, Dwayne, with my co-host, Candace.
Hello.
And we have a very, very special guest on today's episode. It's my uncle, my uncle Amoye. Say hello to the people.
Hello, everyone.
So, my uncle is a, well, you can just tell the people about yourself if you don't mind.
Okay, my name is Amoye Neblett. I am a retired educator and I'm an active musician and a historian. And although I'm not published yet, I am also a writer. And I have a little experience in the subject that we're going to talk about tonight. So I hope that I'll be able to maybe answer some questions that people might have and clear up some misconceptions that people might have and maybe give people a better understanding of the topic matter.
Indeed, indeed. And actually, that topic will be about fasting. I actually just started a fruit fast where I'm just only eating raw fruits and the occasional smoothie, you know, if I'm on the go. But yes, I just started that on Monday, and it's it's still kind of early, but I definitely feel different. I feel lighter on my feet. I know that for one. So when it comes to fasting, what would you say is one of the biggest misconceptions about it?
Well, there's several. I think a lot of people confuse fasting with dieting. And some people, if they're a little overweight and they just want to lose some weight, they feel like they should go on a fast. I know a lot of people who come from a religious persuasion, they fast at certain times of the year, but what they do is sort of like a semi-fasting, because they only give up certain foods, or they only fast for a certain time of the day, which is not really considered a fast. So those are some of the main misconceptions that I see that people have, and also the actual purpose of fasting. I've taken fasts several times over the years, and my purpose for fasting, the number one purpose, is to detox. To detox and to get optimum health. People like myself, we do fasting on a seasonal basis. When the change of the seasons, we sort of do fasting, because that's like in tune with nature. And the fasting, there are different types of fasting. Like you mentioned that you're doing a fruit fast. Some people fast with fruits and vegetables, and some people just do all of their nourishment in liquid form. So there's a different type of fasting, but the purpose, I think the overall purpose, is to detox the body, to get rid of toxins. Just in everyday life, there are a lot of toxins that we consume. A lot of foods are nowadays are genetically modified. You have foods that have all kinds of chemicals in them. There's a lot of processed foods. There are a lot of heavy metals that we consume through liquids, chlorinated water, for example. There's just a lot of smog and pollution in the air. So your body has a lot of toxic thing. Even some of the medications that people get for different illnesses, it leaves a lot of toxic residue in the body. And over time, this will have a devastating effect on a person's health. And so periodic fasting to rid the body of these toxic elements is something that everyone should try to do.
Indeed. Yes, you definitely hit the nail on the head. Candace, any questions or any comments?
No, I think it's good to fast and cleanse yourself. I was just having a conversation today about kind of like fasting on a daily basis, because I was telling somebody that I want to build muscle, but you know, what I do is almost like it would be putting myself into ketosis almost. It's almost like, I mean, it would be called ketosis and intermittent fasting, but what I do is I eat in the morning, and if I'm not hungry until 6 p.m., I don't eat until 6 p.m., so sometimes I'll eat at like 9, you know, and I won't snack, or, you know, sometimes I eat at 9, won't snack. I'll have a smoothie at 9 or like a heavy smoothie in the morning, and then I'll eat at like 3, or, you know, I'll have like a snack at 3 and then have dinner at like 6. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that, because, you know, a lot of people say that not eating makes your metabolism dip, and I think we tend to think that a lot of times you need to eat 3 meals and 2 snacks, or just keep eating like every few hours.
Well, you know, you bring up some good points. What I was saying, my initial statements, is that people have a lot of misconceptions of what fasting is. And so if you do a fast, you're not going to consume foods for the most part. And then after you do the fast, a lot of times people adopt a lifestyle or a diet where they eat only a certain amount of meals a day. Right now, I just came off a 32-day fast. And what I'm doing now is I'm eating one meal a day. And so that's sort of like how you're saying it's not really a fast, because I am eating something, but it's regulating my body. And also, you know, one of the important things, I don't care whatever your concept of fasting is that your body has to get nourishment. You're fasting and you're not getting the required nourishment that your body needs, you're actually doing yourself a lot of harm, you know. And so to get the nourishment, you don't necessarily have to eat food. That's an important thing that people need to understand. You can abstain from eating solid foods and still get the nourishment that your body needs. And you can talk about that a lot. But having one meal a day, or intermittent eating throughout the day or throughout the week is fine, as long as your body is getting the correct nourishment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to point out one thing. That both of you mentioned, you know, about smoothies and fruit. The process that I use, like I said, I just did a 32-day fast. When I started my fast, I sort of like eased into it. So like the first week of my fast, I ate nothing but fruits and vegetables, especially green vegetables. And, you know, I would drink occasional smoothies, and I would juice some of my vegetables. Then after the first week, it was just a liquid diet, and it consisted mostly of juicing my vegetables. Now, at that point, you know, fruits and smoothies, you have to be careful of that, because if you're, for example, if you're taking a lot of fruit in the form of a smoothie, you're getting concentrated fruits, you're getting a lot of sugar. And the sugar that's in fruits are good for you, but if you have it in concentrated amounts, and if that's all the nourishment that you're getting, you know, you can run into problems, because you have a lot of sugar in your diet. And that's why you need to balance it off with the green vegetables. And it doesn't, you know, be more than just green vegetables, but you have to have that that balance, because that's where you're going to get most of your nourishment. You're not going to get a whole lot of nourishment from just eating all fruits and having fruit smoothies, you know.
Yeah, in the morning I'll start off with, like, what did I have this morning? So I had a smoothie with bananas. I usually do kale or spinach or some type of mixed greens in there, but I had bananas, because I've been kind of making it like a sorbet this week. Mm-hmm. I had bananas, pineapples, strawberries, and mangoes, and then I had peanut butter on top and cinnamon in it. And the peanut butter had flax seeds and chia seeds, so that held me over, like, throughout most of the day. And then tonight I had quinoa with tomatoes, curry lentils, kale, and onions.
Well, now, that's great. One of the things, I didn't write down all of the stuff that you put in your smoothies, but what I picked up, a lot of the stuff that you mix, like the greens, the kale, whatever that you put in there, you definitely need those green vegetables. You mentioned the peanut butter. That's a form of protein. The banana has protein, has a mostly potassium. The pineapple has a lot of digestive enzymes that is good for you. So the things that you put in your smoothie are very healthy and very good for you. You know, there's some people that just puts a lot of, like, for me, for example, there are times when I have smoothies that are just all berries, and I'll put a lot of blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, and there's a lot of antioxidants in that, but that's also a lot of sugar, and that's not something that I would, you know, like, want to start my day off with, you know, just mm-hmm. a smoothie like that. But the smoothie, like the kind that you just mentioned, is very good, because you have a lot of different elements in there. Yeah, that's good.
Jeez, that's all I had yesterday was berry smoothies. I guess I got to start over.
No, it's not that. It's just that, you know, it's not something that you want to do every day, all day. If all you're doing is fruit, you know, you need to put in, like Candace says, some kale or some spinach or something like that, a little bit of peanut butter, maybe even some protein powder or something like that, preferably a veggie, a vegan protein powder, and, you know, so mm-hmm. that you can get some other nutrients in your system, you know.
Yeah, I use Vega 1 in it.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I use as well, one of the ones that I use. Yeah. You know, there are other kinds of proteins that you can put in your smoothies that help you. For example, I sometimes use hemp protein. I use moringa powders. There are some other forms of protein, pea protein, you know, that you could put in with your fruit smoothies that would give you that added protein and nutrients that you need. Mm-hmm. And also what they do, like you mentioned cinnamon. Cinnamon is very good for your metabolism, and also maintaining your blood sugar, because, you know, if you have all of that fruit in the smoothie, you need something to regulate your blood sugar levels, you know, because you can have one of those smoothies and feel really energetic and good, you know, first thing in the morning, and then a couple of hours later you're crashing because of, you know, that sugar rush that you had. And the cinnamon can help regulate your, you know, your levels like that. So cinnamon is an excellent herb to use.
Indeed. We're actually going to take a quick break, but stay tuned for more of the Green Inside Story. Greetings. You are tuned into the Green Inside Story with Old Westbury, with Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm your host, Dwayne, with my co-host, Candace.
Hi.
And our special guest, my uncle, Amoye.
Hello, everyone.
So, we were talking about fasting, and we dispelled some myths about fasting, and I believe you were going to get more into the actual process and give us some tips on how to fast.
For a lot of people, just the thought of going without eating any type of food, having a liquid diet, it seems like it's something that's insurmountable. That is, the first thing they say is, "I can never do that." But actually, you can, and there's some things that I can help you with to, based on my experience, because I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but I've been doing this for years, and I know a few things that can help you to ease into the process. Like I mentioned, I just came off a 32-day fast, and when I started out my first week, I ate nothing but fruits and vegetables, plenty of salads. You can make all kinds of salads that you like, using as many different types of greens, kale, spinach, red leaf lettuce, romaine lettuce, as many greens as you can put in the salad. You can put cucumbers, tomatoes, avocados, plenty of things like that to make your salads more healthy. And to eat is a variety of fruits. Then after that first week, I did was liquids only. Now, that wasn't hard for me because like I said, I've done this over and over again for years. But sometimes people, even if they're eating fruits and vegetables, will get a lot of food cravings. And one of the things is, I don't consider it cheating. I just consider it an aid to help you to get rid of some of those cravings, is to use something called the Master Cleanse. I'm sure that most of your guests have probably heard of the Master Cleanse before, but if you didn't, it's a simple mixture of water, and I would use some kind of distilled water or alkaline water, definitely no fluorinated water. You use water, you use lemon. I prefer to use limes, but water, lemon, and what used to be called the Grey V maple syrup. And also, you put a little bit of cayenne pepper in there, which is good to fire up your metabolism. And you will be surprised. And there are many recipes on how to make the Master Cleanse online. All you have to do is Google Master Cleanse, and you will see many recipes that you can make in terms of how much water, how much lemon, how much maple syrup you have to use. But the good thing about the Master Cleanse, it will cut your food cravings, and it will give you some nourishment. So as you trying to ease into that process, you're eating fruits and vegetables, and you're drinking the Master Cleanse, and you'd be surprised that your cravings for food will diminish considerably. All right, that's one thing that you can do. Another thing that I did every morning, first thing in the morning, was to take a concoction that I called a kidney liver flush. And the kidney liver flush, the purpose of it is to help detox your body. And the kidney liver flush consists of garlic. You take a clove of garlic, a cup of water, maybe a quarter of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper, or if you can stand more, you can take a little more, and a tablespoon or two of olive oil, cold pressed olive oil, and you just stir that up and you drink it. It's very hard to just take, but once you get the garlic down, it will strengthen you, it will energize you, and will help to detox your body. And then when you take the fruits and vegetables and your Master Cleanse, you're like really on your way. It makes things a lot easier. But one of the things, I need to stress this, one of the things that you really need to do when you do a detox is drink plenty, plenty water. Water is the life source. When I was taking my fast, I try to drink no less than 1 gallon of water a day, forget the 8 cups of water. You need to drink more water than that. And you'll find out after you get into a fast for a period of time that what you used to think was hunger was just thirst. By the time you feel that you're thirsty, your body's already dehydrated. Once you drink enough water, that would also satiate you and you won't feel as hungry. And the problem that I experience is that if you don't take enough water in when you're fasting, you start to have problems like dizziness, headaches, maybe problems with your blood pressure because your body is becoming dehydrated. So you have to drink plenty of water. I can't stress that too much. You have to drink lots and lots of water. There are some people that say you should drink whatever amount of pounds you weigh, you should drink that amount of ounces in water. So if you weigh 160 pounds, you should be drinking 160 ounces of water. If you weigh 200 pounds or 220 pounds, you drink 220 ounces of water. Water, water, water. That will help you to be successful in any fast. Also, what I used to do when I take my fast is take a few supplements. One of them is psyllium husk. And the psyllium husk basically is a fiber. And what that does is as you're fasting, as you're detoxing, the toxins that are in your body are starting to come out. But it needs a little bit of push. It needs something to force them out. Otherwise, those toxins are just sit there. And so the fiber is what helps to eliminate some of that. So if you drink, take a psyllium husk tablet, or you get a powder and you mix it with a glass of water, that fiber will help to push out some of those toxins and clear your colon. I used to take also golden seal. You can get golden seal tablets, which are easier to digest, because golden seal is a very potent herb, very bitter herb. But it's full of antioxidants, and it's good for you to give you nutrition as you take in your fast. And also, I would take spirulina tablets, which are good for protein. Spirulina is basically a sea algae, and it has lots and lots of protein in it. And actually, I also make a drink. We talked about fruit juices and smoothies. I make a drink that's very concentrated protein. It's Corella. You can get powdered Corella from a health food store. I mix it with liquid chlorophyll. Now, chlorophyll in the Corella is like melanin in humans, but it's in plants. It's the life force of the plant. So if you drink water with chlorophyll and Corella, and I put wheatgrass and spirulina powder in it, that gives you plenty of protein and nourishment to get you through your fast. And also, those things will cut down sugar cravings. For those people who have a sweet tooth, it will help. It will do wonders to cut down that sugar craving. So those are the kinds of supplements that I would take along with my fruits and vegetables. And when you get to the stage of not eating any food, just taking liquids, those will definitely be something that you want to take because it gives you the nourishment that you need. And one more thing, I know this is a touchy subject for some people, but in keeping with getting those toxins and flushing them out of your body, flushing them out of your colon, what you need to do is take enemas. And I know a lot of people have problems with taking enemas, but enemas are excellent for ridding your body of toxins. You could do enemas or you could do colonics, but if you do colonics, you need to go to a reputable place and have that done. And one of the reasons why enemas are important, this tells you, give you a little history. The ancient Africans, very in tune to nature. They watch nature in all its forms, and they try to live according to nature. And one of the things they noticed, that there's a bird called the ibis. And if anyone has ever seen the ibis, it's a bird that has a very long neck and a very long pointed beak. And it's a marsh bird. It's a bird that eats, this stays in the marshes and eats fish and algae out of the water. And since that's its main diet, it just dips its head into the water, and with that long beak, it just sucks up all of this, whatever's in there, and getting fish and algae and for its meals. And after a while of doing that, the birds get congested. And what these birds do, they would take these long beaks and then long necks, they were able to turn their heads completely around and stick those beaks in their rectum and flush it out with water. And so this is where your enemas, the idea of enemas, actually come from. You know, these people who, indigenous people who saw these animals do this in nature. And animals actually do this a lot. If you notice, if you have cats are basically carnivores, but you will see every now and then a cat will eat grass. And the reason why it eats the grass is because it uses the grass as like an enema. It flushes out stuff from their colon. So enemas are very essential when you're having fasting, because all of those chemicals and toxins that you're not consuming, they're still accumulated in your body, and you have to get rid of them. Otherwise, you start to feel sick because the toxins are concentrated now. So you have to get rid of them, and one of the best ways to do it is do an enema or a colonic.
Okay, and again, you said make sure that it's a reputable, place that does colonics, not somebody's, backyard kind of situation.
You don't go to Pookie and Ray Ray's house and get a colonic. You know, you go somewhere that's reputable.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention all that, because I was just about to be like, oh, let's talk poop, because I know that a lot of people, when they do the master cleanse, they're accompanying it with the salt water flush. Because basically what the salt water flush is it's, you match salt to the pH level of your blood, and it's also the same weight as your blood, so to speak. So when you take the salt water flush, it kind of just passes right through you and flush out. So I was wondering, how you felt about that. Also, if you've ever seen, some people will pass mucus, and some people do a mucus cleanse. Have you ever experienced anything like that where you pass mucus?
A mucus what?
Like a mucus cleanse, or where they pass mucus, or they pass, like lots and lots of mucus. I heard that's a thing where you can cleanse yourself with mucus.
Yeah, because once you... when you eat a lot of processed food, there's a lot of toxins in it. I mean, if you just read labels, I mean, you guys are conscious eaters. When you read, I used to have my wife and I used to have a thing when we buy food. If it had, any food that we buy had more than 3 ingredients, we would not buy it and we would not eat it. Because basically you start getting into processed stuff, when you do that. And all of those things, all of those chemicals, will build up in your body. I mean, they don't just leave your body after you eat the food and you go to the bathroom. So a lot of that stuff builds up. So once you start to take this fast, you're consuming very little or no food at all. And then, so all of those toxins start to be accumulated, and they have to come out of your body. And sometimes it's the mucus, sometimes it's, other ways that it comes out, but you have to rid your body of that. The salt water flush is good. Anything to help you to expel those toxins from your body, is something that you have to look at. What I want to do at the end is to give you some give your audience some references that you can get a lot of information and different points of view on how to do some of these things.
Indeed, and we'll be right back with more Green Is Our Story. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned into the Green Is Our Story with Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm your host, Dwayne, with my co-host, Candace.
Hey, y'all.
And our special guest, my uncle, Amoye.
Once again, hello, everyone.
So, yes, just during the break, we were just talking about, you know, what helped you get through the fast, your 32-day fast, which, again, is just amazing. So just kind of tell us, you know, what really helped get you through the fast.
Okay. One of the most important things when you're doing a fast like this, especially if you've never done it before, is to have a support group. Have someone that you can fast with, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, husband or wife, you know, a couple of friends who have the same kind of interest that you have. And you guys can help each other. You can motivate each other. If you're working with somebody else, you don't want to be the one who falls off the fast and start, you know, going to McDonald's on the way home from work. So, you know, you talk to each other, and that support and motivation can help get you through some rough times when you're having in your fast. You know, also one of the things it doesn't make a difference what your religious or spiritual beliefs are. You have to understand that your body is a temple, and you need to do whatever is necessary to keep that temple purified and in order, running order, because it's one of the blessings that you have in life. You know, in our community, there are a lot of illnesses and sicknesses that people have that are attributed to the diets that we have. You know, diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure, you know, heart disease, all of those things are diet related. And so if you can regulate what you eat and not live to eat, you know, and you instead eat to live, you know, you do yourself a great favor. You know, diabetes is especially a big problem in our community. My grandmother, I remember she had diabetes, and, you know, a lot of times when people have diabetes, they wind up getting body parts amputated because of some of the problems that they go through. And when my grandmother passed away, we buried her. She only had a torso. She had to have all of her limbs amputated at one time or another. And so it's a devastating disease. I mean, most of us know a few people, family, friends, or whatever, that have diabetes. And diabetes is something that we can control. And, you know, we can cure it. We don't ever have to die from diabetes. And, you know, there's a lot of other diseases that are related to our diets. And so fasting periodically and intermittently can really help prolong your life.
Indeed, indeed. And I definitely think it is good to, you know, have that support system. I remember, I think it was about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, this girl I was dating was like, she was going to give up candy for Lent. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll give it up for you. Like, let's both do this together, you know? It's just little things like that, you know, that that go a long way. And even a lot of times, especially in America, we get caught up on not seeing results. But if I don't see results, maybe somebody else in my support group is seeing results. And that's motivation. You know, when you win, we all win. So that's really good to have a support group in that kind of way.
Yeah. The diabetes stuff is really intense, because I know a lot of my family members have diabetes or suffer from diabetes or had complications related to it. And like you said, it's not necessary. It's not just something that happens to us. It's not just something that's genetic and that's it, and there's nothing we can do about it. I'm also curious to know what kind of, because a lot of people like you said, for a lot of people, and it just hit me because my eating, you know, was a huge part of my life, and now I'm so disconnected. It's not like I enjoy eating, I enjoy my food, but it's a lot different for me as opposed to eating being something like, let me just see how much I can eat, or being like a huge community thing. It's not everything. It's something that I enjoy. It's something that I take seriously. But what would you say you do spiritually when you're on your fast?
What I do spiritually when I end a fast?
When you're fasting, like, what would you say you do mentally? What kind of spiritual practices, if any, do you have that help you along with your fast as well?
Yeah, well, for me, one of the biggest things is meditating. Meditating, you know, the key to meditate. Most people, when they think about meditating, they think that's also very hard because, you know, they think that when you meditate, you have to stop thinking. You know, you have to kill all of your thoughts, which is impossible. I mean, the way our brains work, we're always going to be thinking. You can't stop all your thoughts. But what happens is you can slow down those thoughts because when you do meditation, you focus on breathing. And, you know, once you focus on your breathing and you breathe a certain way, your thoughts automatically slow down. All your respiratory system slows down. Everything, your heartbeat, everything slows down. And that breathing also is, you know, that's breath is life as well. It's like the water. And so that breathing that you do during meditation, the breathing exercises that you do during meditation will also help you with your fasting. You know, it makes it beneficial. And, you know, just coming in tune with your spirituality, whatever your concept of a God or a creator or higher energy, you know, it helps you to focus more on that because you're not focusing on a lot of the other things like food. People think about food more than they realize, you know. Food is tied to emotions. You know, a lot of times when you go and you get stressed out, people start to eat more or they start to eat badly. People have relationship problems, emotional problems. You know, it affects the way that we eat. People do that emotional eating, you know. They get angry and upset, and they start eating a lot of food. And so when you're fasting, you eliminate those things. And one of the things I always tell people when after the fast is very important because, you know, you don't fast, like, say, 21 days or however long you're going to do your fast, and then on the last day of your fast, you just start to pig out because that's sort of, like, counterproductive. So what you do, you ease into your normal eating the same way you eased into the fast. So after the fast, when I break my fast, I go back to eating fruits and vegetables, you know, and then I start to add in foods, you know, and like how you were mentioning, eating one meal a day, two meals a day. And then you start to find out, because your body has been sort of detoxed from a lot of the foods that you ate, once you start eating certain foods, you start to realize, hey, this food doesn't agree with me, you know. So some people have some people like to eat dairy. And after you take a long fast and then you start to eat, the first time you eat dairy, you'll start to find out that you really are lactose intolerant and you've just been forcing yourself to eat something that doesn't really agree with you. And there's a lot of things like that. There's some foods that you feel, once you start eating, you find out that, hey, this food causes me to have migraines, or this food causes me to break out, you know, or to, you know, a lot of other things that happen to you. And then what you can do at that point, once you have that realization, you can eliminate those foods from your diet, and then you'll be a lot better off, you know. So fasting helps you in that way also, because sometimes there are foods that we eat on a regular basis that's doing us a lot of harm, and we're not even aware of it, you know. But once we stop eating that food and we go back to eating it, we start to know that this is maybe something that I don't want to eat. Or sometimes you lose the taste for that food. Like I was saying, when I make that green drink with the chlorella and the chlorophyll, you know, it got rid of my sugar cravings. And then when I went back to eating you know, a piece of sweet, or, you know, piece of cake or a cookie, it just really just tasted horrible to me. And I said, well, you know, that's something that I can avoid. I'm used to not eating it, so I can continue to not eat it. So, you know, that helps you improve your diet. It's a little bit, I got a little bit away from the spiritual part of it, but, you know, it helps you to focus on what's good for you physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Yes, I would say that it's kind of almost like an audit, like you're doing an audit of your body. And then once you kind of take inventory of everything that you've been eating, like you realize, like, this is good, this isn't good. And that's, you know, that's powerful.
That's true. Also, I've heard that people eat based on their emotions. So your cravings basically signal to you the kind of emotions you're having, or your emotions will, you know, call upon those cravings that give you those certain chemical rushes where, you know, it feels good to eat those things. But, yeah, definitely. And I always hope for that. It's funny because I make a joke. I said it in the last podcast probably that I feel like I need anything. But if I really did a good long fast, you know, there'd probably be some things like carbs or something like that that maybe I'll start to reject. And I think it's good that your body learns to tell you certain things. Or, you know, you learn to listen to your body because your body always knows how to talk to you.
Right, exactly. You have to listen. You have to listen. You know, one of the things that people don't realize, the food industry is very scientific. And they spent millions of dollars to study people's eating habits and what makes them consume more food or certain types of food. And when you, there are a lot of hidden sugars and salts in your food because they found out that that is what causes people, it's addictive. Sugar, you know, there used to be a saying years ago that people used to say that sugar is more addictive than cocaine, and it really is. It, you know, sugar affects your body, your brain, in the same way as drugs like cocaine does. And, you know, if you look at the average food, you know, there's so many different forms of sugar. So let's say hidden sugars. You know, you got corn syrup, you have high fructose corn syrup, you have all these other kinds of, you know, dextrose, all these other kinds of sugars, you know, and when you add them all up, you know, you find out that, you know, maybe in just one meal, you're consuming a whole cup of sugar, you know, and the same thing with sodium. There's so many different forms of sodium that they put in foods, and all of these things are addicting. You notice there's some people that, you know, they have a predilection for sweets. They just have a serious sweet tooth. And then you have some people who have they just have to have something salty all the time. And so those are the two biggest things that they put in our foods that causes addictive behavior. So it's a problem when people try to eat correctly because they're addicted to either the salt or the sugar or both. You know, so fasting is something that can help you break that habit.
And we'll get into more of that. Just stay tuned with the Green Inside Story. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. You are tuned into the Green Inside Story with Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm your host, Dwayne, with my co-host, Candace.
Hey, y'all.
And our special guest, my uncle, Uncle Imoye.
Peace, everyone.
So, we were talking about, you know, the importance of fasting and basically how it's almost like you're doing spring cleaning for your body, just seeing what needs to go, what needs to stay as far as like your diet goes. And I believe that you wanted to provide the listeners with some resources that they can get started on their fast.
Yeah. You know, knowledge is power. You know, the more you learn about fasting and dieting and optimum health and eating food, the the better off you'll be, the better off your health will be. I started on this journey, I'd say, in the late 80s, early 90s, because I was concerned about some health issues that ran in my family. And so I started doing a lot of research. I started to go to a lot of groups and meet a lot of people who were experts in this field, and I got a lot of information. And that's what has sustained me all of this time. Doesn't mean that I eat perfectly all the time, but you know, I try to eat the right foods and do the right things, and keep my health, you know, at its best. And there are a few books that I want to recommend to your listeners that would help them and give them some information. Some of them are pretty old, but they're still available. One is a book called Good Health for African Americans. This is a book written by Dr. Barbara M. Dixon. Good Health for African Americans by Barbara M. Dixon, MD. It's an excellent book. It gives you a lot of information in reference to certain illnesses, like we were talking about diabetes and high blood pressure and things like that. Another person, he has authored many, many books, and I would recommend any book that you can find by this person. But one book in particular is called African Holistic Health by Dr. Lila Africa. He's an excellent, I think most people are aware of Dr. Sebi. He's like a person like Dr. Sebi. He's probably been around just as long, and he's very knowledgeable, and he has a large following, and he has, like I said, he has written many, many books. A book that helped me to take these long fasts is a book written by a young lady. It's called 21 Pounds in 21 Days. And the first time I did a 21-day fast, I lost over 21 pounds. She has a unique system, and she gives you a lot of exercises and different things that you can do. She talks about enemas and different types of enemas. This book is excellent. 21 Pounds in 21 Days by Ronnie DeLuz. Her last name is spelled DELUZ. That's an excellent book. Many of your listeners may have heard of a sister by the name of Queen Afua. Queen Afua has been around for many years, and she has written many books herself. And one book which is excellent is called Man, Heal Thyself. So if you can find the book Man, Heal Thyself by Queen Afua, matter of fact, you can get that book on Amazon. Most of these books you can get on Amazon. It's an excellent book. And she also talks about the spirituality of fasting and having optimum health. And a brother that most of you younger listeners might be aware of, his name is Supernova Sloan. And Supernova Sloan is a hip-hop, he's from the hip-hop generation. He's written a book called The Remedy. And by the way, he is the son of Queen Afua. And he's written an excellent book called The Remedy. And if you ever see this guy walking around the streets of New York, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, you always see him walking around with a gallon jug of water. He's a person who always talks about the importance of drinking water. Water is, you know, I can't emphasize that enough, because of my last fast, there was a time, you know, what happens is when you're drinking a lot of water, of course, you're going to go to the bathroom a lot. So if you're a busy person, if you're at work or whatever, you know, if you're riding the train, so even if you're driving around in a car, you know, getting to a bathroom every time you have to go could be a challenge. And so there were days when I knew I had a hectic day where I didn't drink as much water. And I found out that I was getting a lot of headaches and dizziness. And I didn't know what was going on. And people would ask me from that support group, are you drinking enough water? How much water did you drink today? And I thought about it. And then I started drinking, you know, extra water, and I felt completely better. So, and one of the things, one of the remedies that Supernova Sloan talks about is drinking a lot of water. But all of these books are excellent, and they can help you, and they're all readily available. You know, and there are a lot of other books that you can read, but these are just ones that I've read and have helped me a lot.
Indeed.
Those are great resources, and I know Quina has a book for women. I have it, but I'm drawing a blank on it, but she has a book on women, too. And drinking water is definitely something that I suffer from, not drinking water. I can drink 16 ounces a day. And I can definitely tell the difference. I have a friend, she breastfeeds, and I breastfed for 2 years, too. But she, especially, she knows when she doesn't drink enough water, you know, she has dry skin, she feels weak, you know, her supply goes down and things like that. So, okay, I wanted to mention that Overdrive. I've probably mentioned it before, but if you have a library card, and if you have a good library, and even if it doesn't have great resources, a lot of times they will have Overdrive, or you can get an Amazon student, you know, a lot of our listeners are students, you can get an Amazon Prime Pass, and I'm pretty sure they'll have books or something available to you, or Audible has a pass, so there's always ways to get books, you know, for the most part, if you're able to get it, even if you don't have the means to pay for it right now. Like I said, your library may have the Overdrive app where you can get audiobooks, or you can use Audible, you know, there's different resources, like you said, those books are readily available.
Yeah, those are excellent suggestions.
And if all else fails, you can always use YouTube.
Yeah.
Borrow from a friend. If you have good resources, you know, always borrow from a friend. I got our guest, the Queen of Fool book, I got it from our guest, Angela. She is my daughter's grandmother, and she's a great resource for that. And, you know, if you exchange books or something like that, you know, especially if you live towards the city, there's a lot of different things you can do.
And some of these people, I mean, depending on where you live, if you live in New York, I mean, and you're interested in some of the books that Queen Afua or Supernova Sloan has written, there's no excuse, because these people, you know, they live right here in the city. There are many opportunities that you have to meet them and actually talk to them and get some of the expert advice from people who have been doing this for many, many years. And, you know, she used to teach, and she still does. She teaches this stuff, you know, and so they're very glad to help people and give you information.
All right, so if any of our listeners wanted to, touch base with you, or, you know, see one of your performances or anything like that, where can people find you?
Well, I'm not a big social media buff. The only social media I do is Facebook, but I'm always, you can always reach me on Facebook or message me from Facebook. Just look for Amoye Neblett on Facebook, you know, I'm available. I'll answer questions. I talk with people. We perform around the city. I'm in a band called the Reservoir Orchestra, and we perform usually in the five boroughs in New Jersey, you know, the immediate area. And you can catch us, check us out, and you can have a conversation before, in between, and after.
All right, I really appreciate you coming on and blessing the show with your seemingly infinite wisdom. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'd like to thank the both of you for inviting me, and I hope that I said something that can help somebody. And you know, because this is you know, we're talking about your life and your health, and you know, you don't have to be a vegan. You don't have to subscribe to a raw food diet, although those are probably some of the best ways to maintain optimum health. But as long as you are eating, you know, food that's healthy, and you're not eating a lot of processed foods, taking a lot of harmful chemicals into your system, and fasting on a, you know, intermittent basis, you can prolong your life You can do a lot of things that are beneficial to you. And if you're a parent, or if you're young and you will be parents soon, you can develop habits that you can pass on to your children. And so, you know, you don't have to repeat the cycles that many families have of obesity and illness and things like that. You know, we can stop that and start new chapters and live healthier, more productive lives.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. That's a perfect way to end the show. Again, that is us from the, that is all from the Green Inside Story. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you next week. Good night, everybody.